We're holding on Tzadikches on the Beis, the second line from the bottom. We started learning yesterday that we had two different opinions whether an Isser can be bottled in 60 or in 100. We had Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba in the name of Rabbi Shor ben Levi say in the name of Bar Kapara saying 60, and we had Rabbi Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Shor ben Levi in the name of Bar Kapara 100. We said the Pasuk tells us that when the Nazir brings his Karbonus, one of them is a ram for a Shlomim, and the whole ram is cooked together in a pot, and then afterwards you take out the front right leg and give it to the Kohen, wave it together with the other things and give it to the Kohen, and that means it's also to Zorim, and yet we see that it's in the same pot, and it's not a problem. So we discussed then, the point is that if you consider the leg as a whole, bones and all, then it's about 60, it's about 1/60th of the size of the animal. Whereas if you consider only the flesh of it relative to the flesh of the rest of the animal, then it's 1 in 100. So then we were discussing. So now we were discussing that according to Rabbi Yehuda would say Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minei lei batel, and yet over here it's not, and yet over here, and yet over here it is batel. Now, why is that so ordinarily? Rabbi Yehuda says, we said from the blood of Kodshim, or blood of Kodshim and Cholin that's mixed together, that it's not bottle, and he learns from that that in general, min b'mina is not bottle, only in the case of the Zroya B'Serif Shela is it a Chiddush. So we're still in the middle of working out then why the Braisa had to tell us. The Braisa had said, Zehu Heter, Abom Etzal Isser, this is a Heter that comes from the generality of an Isser, meaning you have something which normally would be Osir. And here, by the Zeroya B'Sheva, the Torah is telling us it's Mutter. So on the face of it, the Zehu means as opposed to all of these Surim Shema Torah. So how are we learning from that? So again, the first answer was that specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that normally min b'mina is not bottle, and here in this special case it is bottle. The Gemara continues, Rava Amar, so Rava gives a different answer. The chiddush, when the Braisa is saying this is the case where it's bottle, meaning as opposed to others, is only regarding the matter of tam ke'ikr. Tam ke'ikr means that the taste of something is like the actual substance of it. So in other words, all this time we've mostly been talking about when you have the substance of an isser in a heter, the gira nosha cooked together with the thigh that it was in, chaylev falling into a pot of meat, milk falling into a pot of meat, etc. As opposed to over here, we're talking about where you only have the tam of it, because afterwards you take out the whole front leg, and all you have left of it is the tam, the flavor that it imparted to the rest of the thing. Now, Rashi points out, Rashi holds that the whole concept of tam ke'ikr, at least on Daraisa level, would be only when it comes to kodshim. So Rashi learns, actually, that when we're saying over here, tam ke'ikr, what we would mean is that specifically by kodshim, where do we learn the concept of tam ke'ikr? Is from here, or normally we would say tam ke'ikr only by kodshim, but in this case, the Torah is telling us an exception for it. So that's the point of Rashi, that specifically tam ke'ikr is daraisa only by kodshim. The fact that it applies to other isurim would be only dirabanan, and the fact that the Gemara elsewhere learns it from a pasuk, Rashi explains, is only an asmachta. Tosfos has a long, long discussion about it, and says not necessarily. Tosfos has a number of questions on Rashi and a number of Gemaras that seem to say not. And Tosfos says that a distinction can be between tam gomer, between a real major taste, as you would get from cooking an entire leg together with the rest of it, where you have a strong taste of it. A tam gomer, where there it would be osir, and that kind of thing actually would be osir by cholin as well. The reason why we're mentioning kodshim is because we're talking about it. But here's Zroya B'Sheva, which is kodshim, and therefore it says the word kodshim. Not necessarily doesn't mean that it wouldn't apply daraisa to other cases as well. And then Tosfos goes into a long discussion about the ins and outs of that and various other ways of looking at it. One thing Tosfos says, even if you say tam ke'ikr daraisa, you would still say a person wouldn't get malchus where there's only the tam of the isser and not the mamoshus of the isser. But then Rabbeinu Tam argues with him on that, and then Tosfos goes back and forth on this point. So in any case, so Rava is saying that that's the point. The Braisa is telling us normally, Tam Ke'ikr would be Osir only by Kodshim, according to Rashi, even by Cholin, according to Tosfos, the Kodshim Osir, whereby Kodshim such a thing would be Osir, and again, according to Tosfos, doesn't mean only Kodshim, means Cholin as well. Kamash Malon, the Hacha Shari, therefore, the Torah needs to tell us that in this case, as far as the Zeroy B'Sheva, is an exception, and in fact, Tam Ke'ikr is Mutter. So there is yet another way. The Rana has yet another way of learning the whole thing that was still saying like Rabbi Yehuda min v'minei like bottle. So Abaya would have said that when it comes to the Zeroy v'Sheila, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, even though it's min v'minei it's bottle. And Rava says that no, he wouldn't allow it min v'minei only in this case where all you have is a tam and not the ikker. So then the Gemara asks again, the Ligma Minei, well then why, so why don't we say once we see Tam Ke'ikr is allowed in this case, then why don't we learn from that to other cases and say that Tam Ke'ikr should be Mutter, and yet we're saying that in other cases it's Osir, according to Rashi Midaraisa only by Kodshim, according to Tosfos by Cholin as well. And the answer is no, because Gavi Rachmana Gavi Chatas, because the Torah specifically tells us when it comes to a Chatas, Kola Shiyiga B'Sora Yikdash, plus it says anything that touches its flesh will become holy. Now, what does that mean? Just touching a chatas is not a reason for something to become holy. What it means is, as we learned about this in Tzvachim, lias kamoya means that it becomes like it in the sense that now it has the status of chatas. She'im psula, if a chatas that it touched and absorbed something from was possible, then the food that touched it and absorbed from it is also going to become possible. The imkshera, and if a chatas is kosher, ta'ocho kachomer shabah, then you're going to have to eat it according to the chumra of chatas. So a chatas, as we know, can be eaten only on the day that it was brought and that night. So now you have regular food, let's say cholin food, that touched the chatas and absorbed some of the flavor from it. So we're going to say now that if the chatas was kosher, then fine, the same deadline that you have for eating the chatas, you're now going to have for the cholin as well. So we see the concept of tam ke'ikr. So we see the concept that even though it has only a flavor, then nevertheless it's still we still consider it like the actual iser itself. Tosfos brings up a couple of points in this regard. First of all, that the Gemara elsewhere, Gemara in Pesachim, learns from this pasuk a different point, a point called Heter Mitzadaf LeIsser. That sometimes you can have, let's say for example, you normally need a kezias of Isser in order for it to be, in order for a person to be chayv malchus or other things like that. But sometimes you have a concept where you can mix, you can have a blend of heter and Isser and it still counts and the heter is considered part of the Isser as well. As far as Tam Ke'ikr is learned from a different pasuk. So Tosfos in fact brings a different girsa over here, that the girsa should in fact be over here, that we're learning from this pasuk by chatas that in fact we're learning heter mitzadaf leiser. So in other words, the idea would be with this zroya b'sheila, with this cooked foreleg of the shlomim of the nazir. Let's say for example, so you have a half kezias. Let's say for example, you cook the foreleg together with the rest of the aisle, and then you take it out and you wave it and give it to the kohen. What happens, for example, Tosfos points out, suppose, for example, you have a half kezias of the actual fat. Now, like this, all this time, we're assuming that once you take out the foreleg, then you don't have it, all you have left is the taste of it in the pot. You don't have any mamushas of it. But Tosfos says, who says? You might have, for example, let's say half kezias of the fat of it still remains on some other piece, which is sticking outside the soup, outside the gravy, and nevertheless we'd say hetem etzadaf la'isser, that not only that half kezias is osir because it came from the zeroy b'sheila, but you would say that the rest of the piece that it's on would also count towards that, and now if a zor eats it, it should be chayav malchus, and we're saying that when it comes to other kodshim, we would say that, but we wouldn't necessarily say that by the ram and the nazir, because the Torah says we should cook them together. Then Tosfos also brings another point, another girsa, te'ocho kachomer shebahen, namely that if you have, let's say, for example, a shlomim touch the chatas, then you have to eat it according to the chumrah of either one of them. Meaning, in other words, let's say it was a shlomim and a chatas, so sometimes you may have, there's a chumrah in the chatas, namely that only kohenim can eat it, and only that day. But for example, let's say, as far as the shlomim can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. It becomes possible by shvia, whereas the chatas, you can continue eating until chatzos, or even until alos ha-shachar, according to different opinions. So then, There would be a chumra in that. If the shlomim touches the chatas and they both absorb from the other, the result would be both of them can be eaten only by kohenim. But if this is already the day after the shlomim was brought, then you could eat them both only until shvia. Okay. In any case, the point is that we see that concept of tam keikar over there. So you can't say in other cases that we should ignore that and say that tam is not keikar only by the zuri of the shela, where we have this unique thing where the Torah says to cook them together. Okay. Again, the question is, am I chozes to gamun and meheach? Well, then why? What tells you that you should learn from that to everywhere else and say that because of what it says about things touching the chatas, ligma mehai? Maybe on the contrary, you should learn from the ram of the nazir and learn from that a general rule that everywhere else that tam is not keikar, and only by the case of the chatas is it a special chumrah? Tosfos adds, then, given that we just said there's also this matter of hetter mitzvah le'isser, so we could say we learn that from the chatas, and we learn tam ke'ikr, that tam is not ke'ikr anywhere else. We would learn that from the ram of the nazir. So you could say you've in fact learned from both, but you're learning two different things. You're learning two different dinim from the two different places. So what makes you say that the ram of the nazir is an exception, and you can't even learn from it tam ke'ikr for everywhere else? And the answer is, like we said before, chidushu, the whole concept of the Zeroya B'Sheila is a chidush, because even, fine, you can talk about the concept of being Mevatel and Isser, but you can't do it like a tchila, to cook them together and then say that it'll be mutter because 1 in 60 or whatever, and here the Torah is telling you specifically to cook it together in the same pot and be Mevatel it, or mechidush like a min, and so we can't derive from a chidush to anywhere else and say a general rule, and take a general rule from that. Well, the Gemara asks on Rava, like it did before, and on Abaye's answer, Ihochi, if you're going to say that's a chiddush and you can't learn anything else from it, then Lamei v'shishim nami le'ligmer, then you shouldn't learn from it the matter of that other isurim can be bottled in 100, according to Rabasi, or 60, according to Rabchi Ba'aba, either. So where are they getting? So and he said that they're both getting their figures from this pasuk over here. So then why, if he's saying it's a chiddush? And again, the answer is, the Gemara answer is similar to what it did before on the previous Amud. To Rav Tabaya, also Anam the Kula Kogamrin. What do you think? We're trying to learn something in order to create a Kula over here and say that, like this, we would have thought it's always also and it's never Batal. And I'm telling you that instead you can be Mako and you can be Mevatal in 60 or in 100. No, on the contrary, the Chumra Kogamrin, the whole Limud that we're doing over here is actually a Chumra as well. The Midaraisa Beruba Batal. Midaraisa would have been Batal Beruiv because the whole concept of 60 or 100 is only Dirabbanan, and the matter of Tam Ke'ikr, again, if we're saying over here, according to with Rashi, that Tam Ke'ikr it applies Midaraisa only by Kodshim, and by Cholim doesn't apply Daraisa, only Dirabbanan. Now, according to Tosfos, you would have to learn differently. You would have to say that Tosfos would have to say that the distinction is not between not between kodshim and cholin, but rather between what type of flavor are we talking about? How intense is it? Or different other possibilities like that. In any case, the point is that ordinarily, and also the distinction of whether the actual issue is there or only the tam, etc. So then, the midar aisa, but rubber bottle. Midar aisa would have been bottle, but even only midar abanon, do you need 100 or 60? So therefore, even if zerei b'sheila is a chiddush, you can still learn this chumra from it and apply it to other cases of chumra. In other words, you would say, over here, the Torah is telling you, go ahead and be mevatel l'chatchila, and still the Torah does it in such a way that it should be bottled in 60 or in 100, depending whether you look at the leg as a whole, or only the meat of it. How much more so when it comes to other cases that you should say that you're going to need 60 or 100, but that whole concept is only dirabban. So far we have two explanations of why the Braisa is telling us that the Zeroya B'Sheila is an exception to the usual rule. When it said Zehu Heter Abom Mekhaleser, first was that we're talking according to Yehuda, that ordinarily Min B'Minya Led Batal, and here it is. And the second answer was that we're saying that normally Tam Ke'ikr would be also, at least by Kodshim, maybe by Cholino as well, and here it's not. Ravina Omar, Ravina says a third answer, what the Braisa is saying. The Chiddush would be as far as the place of the cut itself. Now, for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta when we had the various cases of a pregnant animal where where the baby stuck out a limb before the shechita, and we talk about that not only is the limb itself osur, but also we talk about, depending on certain circumstances, we talk about mokum chasach, the actual place of the cut, is going to be osur as well. In other words, so it stuck out an inch of its leg, so that means the bottom inch of its leg is going to be osur after the shechita, and you're going to have to cut it off. But it's not enough to cut off just that last inch. You're going to have to cut off an inch and a fraction in order to also get the mokum chasach, the actual place of the cut itself, the actual place where the interface over there, where the part inside the womb and outside met. Well, then Ravina says the same thing over here. De Omar, now earlier in the Masechta we learned mokum chasach ba'alma osir. In general, when you have when heter is separated from iser, many times we talked about over there, you're going to need to cut off the actual place of the cut as well. Another example, Rashi points out we had over there Avram Adulto. You had, for example, a limb that was hanging off the animal and then already has it's just barely holding on, and then you shechted the animal. So that piece also, we said, is considered Avram Achai, and you're going to have to remove it. And not only do you have to remove it exactly at the point of contact, you're going to have to cut a little bit into the next piece as well, because the Mokum Chasach is also. So normally we're going to say that. But he was saying it's mutter, but this is a unique exception which applies only to you, and we can't learn from it, and we can't learn from it to other cases as well. Now, what does that mean? Tosfos says actually that it still does mean that other kodshim as well. Rashi Tosfos learns that it would, the makom chasach would also be mutter. For example, let's say again you have the chos of a shoyt, you have the breast and thigh of the animal of a shlomim, for example, which has to be given to the kohen. Now, on the face of it, the same thing. You have a certain point where you cut. There's a din. Halacha defines what exactly is considered the chest and what exactly is considered the thigh for this purpose. But the point is, it's still attached to the rest of the animal. There's a point of contact where you cut them apart, and we don't see that you should have to cut more. That you should have to cut more away from there, deeper in order that the Mokum Chasach is also going to be given to the Kohen. So therefore, Tosfos says, when the Gemara is saying now, when Ravina is saying that usually Mokum Chasach Ba'alma, usually Mokum Chasach is also, and here it's Mutter, what we mean is, outside of Kodshim. Tosfos learns then, in other words, that when it comes to Kodshim, the Mokum Chasach will always be Mutter. On the other hand, the Chodas Chaim asks on Tosfos, the fact is, we're saying over here, the Loshin seems to be that only by the Zroya B'Sheva would that apply. So he discusses that and says that he says before, when we talk about 60 or 100, it means necessarily we have to be with counting the Mokum Chasach as well. If the Mokum Chasach is going to count as some part that's also as well, then you're not going to have 60 or 100. So therefore, that demonstrates that over here it's Mutter. But again, when it comes to other cases, the Tertus Chaim learns that in fact it would be Osir. And in fact, for example, with the Chaza of a Shoyt, you would have to cut slightly above where the Chaza ends, and similarly slightly above where the Shoyt ends, in order to give to the Kohen also the Mokum Chasach. Okay, in any case, so according to Ravina, that's what the B'raisa means when it says Zehu Hetra Baba Kol Iser, that you have an exception over here that you don't necessarily find in other places. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Dimi, and Tosfos finishes off by saying that if we're saying that this applies in general to Kodshim, then that would explain, that's why the Gemara doesn't go and then try to do like it did before, where why you're learning from this instead learning from that, because it's clear that when you have a rule that applies across the board to all Kodshim, then there's no reason to think that it shouldn't, then there's no reason that when we see a rule that applies in general to Kodshim, then we have no reason to argue, yes, but we should instead learn from Chulin to the contrary. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamal l'hoshmaita. Rav Dimi was sitting and saying over this statement, specifically what we said before, that Rav Asi had said, and Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok had reported, that Rav Asi had said that Isurim in Torah bottle in 100, not like we're usually familiar with in 60, which is what Rav Yababa said, but rather in 100. So Rav Dimi was sitting and saying this over. Amalei Abaya says to him, V'chol Yisurim Shabbat Torah B'meah. So you're telling me that all other Yisurim in the Torah, you need 100 to be mevatel them. V'hatnan. We learn in a Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, this is a Mishnah in Masechta Orla that starts off by saying that, that you normally Isurim can be bottled in a certain amount, but the Mishnah starts by saying when you have something that's used to leaven something, that you put sourdough, for example, in dough, or to spice it, or medameya, when you have truma mixed with chulin, so then by truma and by orlan, by flyer kerem, it's also. So now the Mishnah goes on to say that sometimes you make or sometimes you machmir. So lama omru chachamim, in what sense, in what case did the chachamim say call machametz or metabol or medameya, that any time a person uses something of Isser, whether it's Truma, which is also only to Koyanim, whether it's Orla and Kalaya Kerem, which are also to everybody, where he uses it to leaven a batch of dough, or metabol, or to spice it, so he uses spices of Truma or Orla or what have you, or Medamea, or where he mixes Truma with Cholin. So when do we say Lahachmir? When do we say that you're Machmir? As far as that, Minu Minoi. If it's the same min together. So for example, sourdough in dough, they're both the same species. They're both from wheat, and therefore we're going to be machmir. In what sense are we machmir? We're going to talk about in a couple of lines. On the other hand, lahokol. But when do we say the katoni sefer? And then the sefer continues. So the malam mechametz and tabla melahachmir minu minay lahokol lahachmir. When are we on the other hand? Sometimes makol and sometimes machmir min v'she'enin minay. When you have a min mixed into something which is not minay. When, for example, let's say you have spices in a dish which is made of other ingredients. So then sometimes we're makol, sometimes we're machmir. Now, what does that mean? The Katani Sefer, the next Mishnah continues. Lahokal Lahachmer. What do we mean? Where is this Lahokal Lahachmer? Means, for example, Lahokal Lahachmer min Mashane Minay. When you have min mixed in with, if not, it's min. Kate said, what does that mean? Sometimes we'll make or sometimes we'll Bachmer. So, for example, Grisin Shinis Bashlo im Hadoshin. Suppose you have split peas that were cooked together with lentils. And let's say the split peas were, truma, and the lentils were cholin. And the same thing would apply to orla and kalayakarim. Im yeshban benosin tam, actually orla and kalayakarim, you need larger figures to do the vazel. So primarily we're talking about truma over here. So im yeshban benosin tam, if the lentils now have a taste of the beans in them, and in this case, we were talking truma and cholin, you don't have to have a zori taste it, like we talked about the other day. It would be sufficient to have, you can have a koyan taste it and see if in the lentils you detect the taste of the beans. So if so, so in yeshbem noisim tam, if it has a flavor, bein yeshbem lahalas meva echad, bein ein behem lahalas meva echad, whether there's enough to be mevatalit in 101 or not, also, then either way it's going to be also to zorim. The 101 is normally when it comes to truma. Normally, when it comes to truma, to mevatel it, you need 100 times as much cholin. Rashi brings from Sifri that learns it from a pasuk that refers trumas meiser is 1/100th of the crop, and trumas meiser, and the pasuk implies that if trumas meiser, which is also mutter only to koyanim, if it falls into the cholin, then it's bottle. So, or actually the pasuk implies that it's not bottle. Why? Because it fell into the other 99 out of which it was taken. So therefore that implies that if it falls into 100, then it'll be mutter. Now what you do have to have is we say over here, we have the word lahalos over here to bring it up. Namely, because even in that case where the truma is bottle, in most cases you have to take out the equivalent amount and give it to the koyim. Because, in other words, otherwise it's called gezel ha-shevet. If you're stealing from the shevet, they're entitled to a certain amount of truma, or truma's maisu, and you took it away from them. So in other words, the classic case that you have over and over in Mishnayos Trumas is, for example, a saw of wheat falls into a hundred saw of wheat. So we're going to say it's bottle, but nevertheless, you still have to take out a saw from the mixture and give it to the koyanim so they don't lose out. So therefore we use the word lahalos over here. So now again, our Mishnah that we're quoting over here is saying that if it's min b'she'enei minay, so you have split peas that fell into, that were cooked together with lentils. So now if we're saying if there's noisin tam, then we don't care whether it's bottle on 100 or not, because it's noisin tam, then nevertheless there's the lahachmir that we're machmir and say even though you have 100 times as much, as 100 times as much chulin, nevertheless it's not bottle. Because of the flavor. On the other hand, ein behen benois in tam. On the other hand, if it's not nois in tam, bein sheyesh behen lahalas meir ve'echad, bein ein behen lahalas meir ve'echad, then whether there's 100 times as much chulin or not, mutter, then it will be mutter. So there's a lawful. There we see that we're makel. And we're saying that, even if it's in less than 100 times as much cholin, then nevertheless, even though there's not enough heter to be mevatel, it's still mutl. In other words, Rashi explains what the Gemara is telling us over here is that when do you need that the truma should be bottle in 100 is only, Rashi explains, only when the issue is the aim, only when you have something where, for example, wheat falling into wheat or other things that weren't cooked together where the issue is still fully present. But over here, we're talking about that. Here they're talking about that we're cooked together, and it's no longer be'ein, it's no longer visible. So then, therefore, you don't need 101. So there's the horkel. But that would be as far as min b'shein and minor. Min b'minor, you're always going to be machmir. So that's a point of Rashi. Tosfos learns certain details of that. Somewhat differently, that it comes out according to Rashi, it would have to mean that the peas are at least noticeable at one point among the lentils, and you could have removed them, and therefore. But if you were never able to tell truma was in the chulin, then you would need 100, even when it doesn't have a time. In other words, it comes out according to Rashi, it's both. You always need 100 when it's min b'minoy, and if it's min b'shein and minoy, then you have it depends whether the goof of it is bottled in there or not. And Tosfos says you don't have to be doichet like that. You could say that the whole concept of bittul in 100 is only min b'minoy, because again, we're learning it from Trumas Meiser, which came from this actual produce. But when it's min b'shein and minoy, then we're going to say you don't even need 100. Then it would be enough to have 60, even if you have the goof of it. So in other words, basically the question is, if you have the goof, you have the actual substance of truma mixed in and a minoy, according to Rashi, you're going to need 100, and according to Tosfos, then it's going to be enough that it's 60 or that it doesn't give a time. Okay, so in other words, we can look at it. What do you need? Do you always need 100 regardless? Or can it be that, can it be, in other words, Tosfos explains, according to Rashi, you need, first of all, if the truma is still there, if the goof of it is still there, and second of all, then you need 100. And also, if it's min b'mino, then you also need 100, as opposed to, according to Tosfos, it's not necessarily like that. There are cases where it can be bottled in 60. Okay. Anyway, so now Sabaya says to Rav Dimi, now that we have this Mishnah, in Behen Lahaus Meir Ve'echad, when you're telling me that you have a case where it's min b'she'en emino, your beans, peas mixed with lentils, and you're telling me that if you don't have, in Behen Lahaus Meir Ve'echad, if you don't have enough to be mevatel in 100 times as much, the truma is still botel. As long as it doesn't give a time. So elamai. So what would you need? What proportion would you need to be mevatel? Lav b'shishim. Wouldn't it be that you need 60? So what are you telling me then? In general, in Yisurim Shabbat Torah, you need 100. The implication of this brisa of this Mishnah seems to be that it's enough to have 60. And Tosfos says, okay, the point is over here, a Koyan tasted it, and it would have been bottled and even less because it's not nois in tam. Maybe in general you should need 100, maybe in general you should need 101 if you don't know one way or the other. And Tosfos derives from the wording of the Mishnah that in fact we're talking about where there is a case where it's going to be bottled, but less than 100, namely 60. And we wouldn't say any random number between 60 and 100, because so far we only found opinions that say 60, and we say 100, and we don't have anything in between. Okay. Anyway, so the point is, so Sabaya is asking, if the Mishnah is telling us that you don't need 100 to be mevatel, when it's min v'she'en and min and it didn't give a time, then that means you don't need 100 implies you need 60. So I don't give me answers like, no, it still means that you need 100 over there. Well, the question is, Muhammad Resha may have a safer the Shishid. Well, the Resha is talking about where you need 100. So the safer necessarily where the Resha was saying, which is saying that you need to always be machmir when it comes to minu minoy. And nevertheless, you're saying it can be bottle in 100. How much then in the safer where we're saying min, where you're saying min b'shein and minoy, and we're saying mahokal or machmir, wouldn't it have to mean? In other words, wouldn't it have to mean that you're maple and you say only 60? So the Katoni Reisha, because the Reisha of the Mishnah says lahachme minu mina keitzad. What does it mean to be machme when you have minu mina? Seor shel chometz shenafal isas chitin. Suppose they have seor shel chitin shenafal isas chitin. Suppose you have sourdough of wheat dough where the sourdough came from truma and shenafal isas chitin and it falls into a batch of dough of wheat dough of chulin the yeshbek de lachametz and that piece of sourdough is enough to make it into proper bread, into leavened bread. Then the Mishnah says, "Bein yeshbe kedel halas meva efon, bein einbe kedel halas meva efon." Then whether there's enough to be mevatel at 100 or not, also it's still going to be also because. Now here we're talking min melinoi, what we're talking about it had kedel chametz, it had enough to make it chametz, and therefore it was nois in town. It gave a flavor into the dough. The Rambam learns differently in the pre-Chodesh, explains that Rashi agrees with the Rambam. It's not so much nois in town, but pulos in mikeres. You can tell there was a detectable result of it falling in there that now the rest of the dough became chametz. Continues the Braisa. What happens if there's not 100 times as much cholin over there? Then sheyeshbe kedei lachametz. Then ein bekedei lachametz. Also, then it's going to be also whether it's large enough to make it chometz or not. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying that, and again, we're talking about min meminoi, and there it's not bottle, regardless. So in other words, the idea is lahachmer. So in order, what do we mean by lahachmer? In order to be bottle, it would have to be two things. It didn't give a taste, it didn't give a taste into the dough, or it didn't have a detectable effect on the dough, and that it's bottle in 100. Only then could you be makel and say that it would be, and say that it's also. But otherwise you would say it's also. Now, Abaya asks, Reisha the Sefer the Meir. So you're telling me both the Reisha and the Sefer are telling you that you have to be Mevatel in 100. Well, then what's the difference? Then what's the Chumrah in Min Memino over Min Meshein Emino? Meila, Abaya is saying if you say like me that it means in the Reisha you need 100 and in the Sefer where it's Min Meshein Emino and it didn't give a flavor, then it's enough to have 60, then good. There's the Kula. So there's the Kula that you have that even though you have far less than 100, you have only 60 because it was Min Meshein Emino and it didn't give a flavor, then fine. But if you're telling me, Rav Dini, that either way you need 100, then what's the difference between the two parts of the Mishnah? Why is one saying that we're being machmer, and the other one is saying sometimes we can be made? So Rav Dini answers, Loi, no, that's not what it means. Reisha, b'meya b'chad, safer b'meya. No, what it means is the Reisha, it's saying it's not enough to have 100 of, if 100 of chulin, you're going to need 101 of chulin. So you're going to have 102 total in order for it to be bottom. The safer, but we were talking about min b'shein and min b'meya, then it's enough to have 100 of chulin, and that's enough. So there's that difference that you have the chumrah of one over the other, 101 versus 101 versus 100. Now Tosfos brings up a point over here. So again, Rashi is saying that Abaya had asked the question that doesn't it mean it's bottle in 60 and Rav Dimi is telling him that no in 100. But it sounds like, in other words, we're saying that it means that it sounds like we're saying that when we're talking about being mevatel the iser means that it would be it means 101, meaning 100 of heter and one of iser, and meaning in other words then the sefer would be shishim. So the difference would be it doesn't need 100. But Tosfos says it's a bit of a doichet to understand the Gemara that way. In the Sefer, it's clear that when Rav Dimi is explaining that in the Sefer, it means 101 of Heter. So why wouldn't we assume that? Why would we assume the Reisha is any different? So it seems odd. Tosfos says that Abaya would have misunderstood it that much. So Tosfos says that no, what it means is that's what it means. In other words, Abaya had asked Rav Dimi, doesn't it mean that it needs to be bottle only in 60? And Rav Dimi tells him no. In the Sefer, you only need 100 total. So 99 of Heter and one of Isser is still good enough. Now then, but then the Gemara asked on that and misunderstood and thought that it meant that it means 101 total, 100 of Heter and one of Isser. And then the answer is clarifying what it said to begin with is that you're talking about 101 in one case and 100 in the other case. Okay, so in other words, it comes out to the same conclusion, but Tosfos Toy Swiss just has a different way of arriving at that conclusion. Okay. In any case, Abaya continues to Rav Dini. Well, let me ask you then, he said. So you're telling me, in other words, that in the Reisha, you're talking about there's 101 times as much, and nevertheless, in order to be Botel, it has to be that it also wasn't able to be Mechamet the dough. Well then, v'chiyesh v'kedei l'chametz. Still, even if there is enough in it to be Mechamet, v'mei v'chad amai l'botel. Why shouldn't it be Botel in 101? In other words, can you picture such a thing that should be able to give, a taste like that, even when it's 101 times as much hecker? So what are you telling me? That if it was Muhammad's, and nevertheless, it's still not bottled, why? Realistically, such a thing is not gonna happen. It can't be like that. So the Gemara said, Ishtik, Rav Dini was quiet, he didn't know how to answer. So in other words, again, if you say that in the ratio we're telling you need 100, and the point is, yes, it can happen that even in 100, it's still able to be Muhammad. So in 101 already, we're not going to assume that it is, but then we'll say the Sefer, which is saying min b'shein and min, it can be bought, would refer to 6. So then Abaya says that it all works out. But if you're telling me that in the ratio and the Sefer, we're both talking about 100, and the ratio was saying even 101, is still able to give a flavor to it. Realistically, how is that going to be? So Ishtik said of Dimi was quiet. I didn't have an answer. Omalei, Sabai says to the Dimi, Dilma, shiny sour to chemotse kosher. You know what? Maybe I'll offer an answer. Maybe you could say that sourdough is different. Because Taka has a very powerful influence. Taka has a very powerful ability to make things chometz. And in fact, you have some kinds of, Rashi points out, sometimes you'll have some sa'ur stronger than others. So yes, you can actually have some sa'ur which is so strong that even if it's mixed in 101 times in a batch of dough, 101 times larger, it'll still be able to be mechametz. And by the way, you know, of course, if you leave dough long enough, it's going to become chometz anyhow. So obviously, we have to have some way of knowing whether the chimutz was caused by the sa'ur or whether it was just caused by yeasts floating around in the air. Evidently, there would be a way to tell. Anyway, Omalei, so Rav Dini says, you know what? That you're mentioning that distinction that sa'ur is unique because it has a very strong leavening power. It karten milsa d'amar Rav Yosi ben Chanina. Well, then you reminded me of something that Rav Yosi ben Chanina says, that in fact, when it comes to Isurim, there are going to be different shiurim. Even though we're saying 60 or 100, that's not necessarily across the board. There are going to be some kinds of Isurim which are stronger, and therefore they're going to need a larger amount to be mevatel them. Namely, d'amar Rav Yosi ben Chanina, loy kol shiurim and shavim. Not all shiurim of being mevatel things are equal. Because consider the case of tzir, which is juice that exudes from fish. Where if the fish is not kosher, then in order to be mevatel that tzir, you would need almost 200 times as much. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, dog tomei tzirei osur, a non-kosher fish, the tzir that exudes out of it is osur. Rabbi Yehuda says you can be mevatel if you have a revius in two saw, which comes out to 192 times as much. Because you have like this, there's four revius in a lug, there's four lug in a calf, so that means there's 16 revius to a calf, 6 calf to the saw, so that makes 96 revius to the saw, and here we're saying two saw, so double that, so 192. So you see, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that when it comes to this seer, it's not going to be enough to have 60 or even 100. You're going to need 192 times as much. So you see, therefore, there are some isurim that have such a strong flavor that they can even accomplish something even far beyond 100. So yes, then in that case, and that answers the question then. So when we said before about sa'ur, shochitin, the difference is because sa'ur is strong and some of it is stronger than others, then yes, you can have, it can still give a flavor even in 101, maybe even in more than that. And therefore, as we said before, when could it be batel? Only if it's one, only if it's both. If you have at least 101 times as much of heter, plus also the issur did not in fact give a flavor to it. Then it can be bottled, but otherwise not. That would be lahachmir. When min b'mino, and again, as opposed to min b'shein and mino, says Rav Dini, we would still say that you need 100. So we see that concept that when there are that some things are need a larger amount of bitul than others because of their taste. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the seer can be bottle anyway. Well, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, min mimina le bottle. Didn't we say before that? Rabbi Yehuda says, min mimina is never bottle. So how is the seer becoming bottle in the first place? And the answer is, Chinese seer is zeya ba'almahu. The difference is, seer is just zeya ba'almahu. It's just like sweat. It's not really the actual substance of the fish itself. It's just something that oozes out of it. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda can be makel on that. And say that it can be bottle. So you can have like that. Tosfos points out that for various reasons, seer that doesn't have water in it. If it has water in it, then it has different dinim. Then it can be bottle unless that. So it will be osir, but only dirabanan. It won't be osir daraisa. Tosfos does go on to say, though, on the other hand, seer like that comes from shrotim, that will actually be osir daraisa. That we're going to learn later on. In Amasetna. So why is there a difference, Taka, in that regard between fish? Why is there a difference between fish and shrotim? So a couple of achronim talk about various distinctions. The Chassam Sofer says there's poshet a difference, a physical difference. What comes out of a sheretz would be stronger. And more contain some of the mamoshes of the animal itself, as opposed to what oozes out of the fish is considered just like as a weaker stuff, is more like sweat. And he explains, and the Kehilas Yaakov explains, if you look carefully at the wording of Psukim, then you see that there's a difference in that regard between shrotzim and fish. So the tzir of a non-kosher fish would be also only dirabanan, whereas the tzir of a non-kosher sheretz would be also garaisa. Okay, in any case, the point is that we do see that, the point is there are some things because of their strong flavor that require a larger amount to be bottled them, and therefore if Jimmy says to Abaya, you can work it out that way as well, and that will explain why the sur that we said before requires 101 times as much to be bottled it, and 60 is not enough. The general halacha is that usually most isurim are indeed bottled in 60. Most of the time, you don't need 100, but there are certain exceptions. Truma falls into chulin. You do in fact need 100 times as much, and you have certain other exceptions we need when it comes to orla and kalaya ketam. You need 200 even, but in general, when we talk about isur mixed into heter, usually 60 is enough. With the exception of course, there are cases where you can't have bitzel at all. We'll talk soon about Beria, there are other cases that come up here and there in Halacha where something cannot be bottled for one reason or another. Okay. What?
Hold on a second. Alexander?
Yeah.
Which need 100?
So first of all, Truma in Kolin needs 100. So when truma gets mixed into cholin, min miminoi, then you need 100. Min mishena minin, we were talking about over here whether you need 60 or 100. Most other isurim, it's enough. Most other isurim, bas v'chalav, chelav, nevelas or trefas, etc., then usually 60 is enough. But that orla and kalaya karim require 200, and then you have certain kinds of things which can never be bottled. A dover choshuv, a beria. We're going to talk about all of those, and then we're going to get into all of those, all the various kinds of cases. We'll learn some today and some tomorrow, Baruch Hashem, of various ones that can never be bottled for one reason or another. So now let's learn more about this matter of Tarovus. We said in the Mishnah, cakes of Masharinan, how do we evaluate? We said that if a thigh of an animal was cooked with the gid anosha inside, and we need to know whether it gave a flavor into the meat. So we said we consider it kibbutz of lefes, we consider it the equivalent of if you cook meat together with turnips, and you would see if this amount of meat is enough to give a flavor into the turnips, then proportionately we would say the same amount of gidan nosha is enough to give a flavor into the thigh, and therefore it's going to be awesome. So what do you mean? So Omer Rav Huna specifically, Rav Huna says kibbosam b'roshe lefosis. Specifically, it means that you evaluate the meat against the heads of the turnips. Now, what does the head mean? Rashi explains that it means the green. It means the leaves of the turnip. Toast for subject, that Rashi Lafosis usually means the turnip root. And in fact, Rashi goes on to say that it seems to me, and maybe this is a different explanation that Rashi is saying, that actually the root of the turnip is the top of the turnip root is sweeter than the bottom of it. So therefore you would notice the taste of the meat more in the bottom of it than in the top. Whereas the top, because the top has a stronger, more intense flavor to it, and therefore you wouldn't be able to tell it unless you have a significant amount of meat. So in other words, saying that kibosser b'roshei lefosis is a kula, it comes out according to that to say that that only if it's equivalent to the amount of meat that would give a flavor into the stronger tasting head of the turnip. But again, according to Rashi's first explanation, we don't mean the turnip root at all. We mean the leaves of the turnip. So the Gemara says, Masnisin Deloike Haitana. Well, our Mishnah then does not go like the following Tana. Our Mishnah, which is saying that the Gidin actually has a flavor, and therefore you have to evaluate how much of it went into the rest of the meat of the thigh, and therefore whether it's going to be osur. And we're saying that implies that the Gid has a flavor, so that's Deloike Haitana. It's not like the following Tana, the Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Benoish Rabbi Yechonon Berekhom, in the Gidim, Benoish and Tam, the Gidim are not considered to have a flavor because it's a dry thing. It's like a piece of wood, as we talked about that the other day, and therefore, so if we say in the Gidim, Benoish and Tam, would mean that it doesn't matter, it's not going to osur the rest of the thigh, all you have to do is take it out, and all you have to do is take it out and throw it away, and the rest of it will be mutter. An interesting question is, what do you mean that there's machloikus, whether yesh begidim and nice and tam or not? I mean, this is a matzios, taste it and see, you know, have something cooked with a gid anasha, have a gorisha chef taste it, like we said before, and see whether you can taste the gid or not. So the Rashba actually explains that it's not so much whether it has a flavor. Everybody agrees that the main gid itself, the main sciatic nerve, is not going to be nois and tam. But then you have the branches of it, the little smaller branch nerves that come off it. And as we learned a few days ago, we had a machloikas Rabbi Yehuda, we had a machloikas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the entire gid anasha, including all of its branchings, is oster, or only the main body of the gid anasha. So that would be the question then. If we say ein begidin menoisin tam, means that all that's osur minatora at least would be the actual main gid itself, and therefore that doesn't give a flavor. Whereas we say yesh begidin menoisin tam, then it would mean that those branches and sub branches are also osur. So that's when we're looking at how the Rashba puts it. Tiferes Yaakov has a different explanation of it. He says, yeah, the gid itself is only eitz ba'alma, but nevertheless, the fact is the Torah tells us it's also to eat it. So maybe therefore the Torah is also telling us that if it's mixed with something else, then it should be also as if it put in a flavor. Or others say that no, it's only gzeres akosid. You can't eat gid anosha itself, but we wouldn't care given that it actually doesn't exude a flavor, then we wouldn't consider it as if it did. So either way, in other words, it's not a machloikus in Matzios, it's a machloikus in the halachic definition. So according to him, in other words, the point of our Mishnah, that you would have to consider it like meat cooked together with turnips, wouldn't apply because according to him anyway, it's not nois and tam. So the Gemara tells, Ahu de also the kamei de Rav Chanina. There was a person who came with a shaila to Rav Chanina. He had cooked meat with a gid anosha, and is it also? Well, have a Yosef Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina Abava. So now, when this guy came to ask the Shaila to Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina was sitting outside the door. Kinnafik, so the guy asked the Shaila and came out. Omalei, so Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina asked him, my Omalach, what did Rabbi Chanina tell you? What was the psak in? Omalei, he says, Sharia Nealei, he said it's mutter, even though it was cooked with the Gid Anasha. Omalei, Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina tells him, go back in and bring your shaila to Rabbi Chanina. Again, it can't be right that it should be mutter. What happened to the fact that there's a gid in there? Maybe he misunderstood what you were asking or something. So the guy comes back in. Omar, Rabbi Chanina realizes the guy didn't just come in on his own. If he already had a heter, he's not going to volunteer to come back in to ask again. So he realized that he realized somebody is putting him up to it. Omar, Rabbi Chanina says, Haman Hai, Jepamitzarli, who's this who's bugging me? Whoever it is, somebody told you to bug me with this question again. Zil Amalei, Laman de Yosef Ababa, go tell whoever's sitting outside the door, Ein Megidin Menos in Tam. Didim, do not give a flavor, and therefore you shouldn't be telling you to ask the Shaila again. The fact is, even though the Gid Anosha was in there, nevertheless, Ein Megidin Menos in Tam, not like the Tana of our Mishnah, but rather like Rabbi Shmuel Benosha of Yetha Mendreka, and therefore there's no problem, you can eat your tavshil. All you have to do is, if the Gid Anosha is still noticeable, then you take it out. So the Gemara tells in this connection, he also the Kamei de Rav Ami, when people would come with Rav Ami, with such a Shaila, Meshadru, who the Kamei de Rav Yitzchok ben Cholu, he would send them, he didn't want to pass them in himself, but he would send them to Rav Yitzchok ben Cholu, the Mori Bala Hatera, where he would pass them that as Mutter, Meshum de Rav Yishur ben Levi, he would tell people that Rabbi Shimon Levi said it's mutter. However, Rav Ami himself didn't agree with that, which is why Rav Ami didn't want to paskin it himself. So he didn't want to paskin that's also in order not to cause a hefsin to them, given that he knew that there is a legitimate opinion that says that it's mutter. So therefore, but he didn't want to go against his own understanding of the halacha, and therefore he would send them to Rabbi Yitzchok ben Chalub, who would tell them that Rabbi Shimon Levi said it's mutter. And the Gemara says, "Hilchsa ein begidim menos in tam." In fact, the bottom line halacha is, "Gidim do not have a tam." So therefore, it doesn't matter. Rashi sums up whether it was cooked together, whether it was salted together, whether it was roasted together. Then you just take out the gid anosha and you're good. Now, on the other hand, then you have, we've talked about a number of times in the perek, you have the shuman, you have the fat around the gid anosha. Now, what about that? That fat definitely has a flavor. So Rashi brings up the point over here that if the fat would in fact create a problem if you have it in there. On the other hand, Tosfos brings that they had said that Tosfos had said a couple of dafim ago that no, if you're not going to be machmir with the gid, you're certainly not going to be machmir with the shuman, which is only also the rabbanon, and therefore in fact even if it was cooked together with the shuman, then you're still not going to say the whole thing is also because of it. Tosfos also brings up an interesting point over here. Given that we say that if we say in begin menos in tam, then we're saying there's a kula from it, namely that if you accidentally salted or cooked or whatever something together with the gid anosha, it's still going to be mutter. On the other hand, though, there's a chumra that comes out of it. Tosfos points out, then the result would be that it's also b'hanal. Because the Gemara in Pesachim discusses the question, when do we say that something that's also to eat is also bahana? And one point it brings up over there is that when an avela is mutter, then everything in it is mutter as well bahana. Implying, in other words, that in fact, according to the opinion, ain't begin, menos in tam, then in fact it would be osur. So it comes out, Tosfos is saying, on the face of it then, if we say ain't begin, menos in tam, then it would actually mean that the gid anosha would be also bahanar. So Tosfos says then in that case, then how is it that we sell meat to goyim with the gid anosha in it? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because the goy is basically paying only for what has a taste to it. If the gid anosha doesn't have a taste, then he's not really paying for it. On the other hand, though, Tosfos says, what about, though, we had a few days ago, the din about sending an entire thigh as a gift to a goy, and we said that's mutter, even though the gid anosha is in it, and we had the whole point over there about what is there a concern that he's going to resell it to a yid? It's noticeable that has the gid anosha, and we had the whole discussion over there about when you are and aren't allowed to buy meat from a goy. In any case, the point is, there we see you are allowed to send it to him with the gid anosha inside, and there's no problem of having hanah from it. Tosfos says, fine, but that's, we said before, that was like the opinion that yesh begidin menos in tam. But in fact, if we're going to say that the gid does not have a tam, then in fact we would necessarily have to say, based on that gemara in Pesachim, that in fact it would be also banah. On the other hand, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that no, the gid anosha is mutter bahana, so not like Tosfos. The Rambam learns differently. He learns that Gemara and Pesachim differently. And the fact is, we did have the Stam Mishnah before that said that you could send as a thigh to a goy with the gid anosha inside. So therefore, the result is that the gid anosha would actually be mutter bahana. as far as the din of if it was cooked together. So again, because in the gin menosin tam, then the result would be that the result would be it doesn't ask for everything else. However, though, as far as the fact, as Rashi says, you would need, would ask her, so like Rashi, not like Tosfos, and therefore you need 60 times as much, corresponding to, you need 60 times as much of that, as that fact around the Gidanosha to be mapped to the gravy that it was cooked in. So therefore, Shulchan Aruch summarizes, so if you have a thigh was cooked with the Gidanosha, if you can still find it, then you throw it out and the rest is mutter, as long as you have 60 times as much as the fat over there. If you don't recognize it, then everything is going to be osir. Then, if you have 60 times as much in the pot as the shuman, as that fat, then the gravy will be mutter. If not, then it'll be osir. This is all if the gid is still intact. If the gid itself got dissolved, then you're going to need 60 corresponding to it as well, because then you have a mamoshus of isir in it, and then you can't say anymore that it's like wood, that's like eitz palma. And therefore it's not going to be, therefore it's not going to be bottle. So those are the dinim in a nutshell. Again, nowadays, it's very rare that we even buy the hindquarters of animals as kosher meats in the first place, precisely because of this difficulty with the gidanasha and other things, and therefore in practice, those are usually sold to goyim as well. Again, according to Tosfos, in principle, it has to be that the goy is not paying for the gidanasha, according to the Rambam, and the way the Shulchan Aruch brings it, it wouldn't matter, and it's fine either way. So the Mishnah had mentioned in this connection, Gidan Nosha Shemisbashel, that if Gidan Nosha was cooked together with other Gidim, then he said again, if you can recognize it, then you have to look at Nois and Tam, and if not, then all of them are going to be Osir, and only the gravy we would look at Nois and Tam. Again, that's following the idea that the Gid itself has a flavor that it can then impart to the rest of the Gidim, and therefore you have an issue with it. By the way, as far as this matter of the Gid Anosha, as far as having Hanoah, one more thing to mention in that regard, is indeed the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that you are allowed to have Hanoah from the Gid Anosha. However, the Beis Yosef, so the Mechaber himself writes in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. However, in his sefer, the Beis Yosef on the tour, he says that the Zohar says that the Gid Anosha is also Bahana. So therefore, that should be a reason, in fact, not to try to have Hana from it based on that. On the other hand, the Ramah disagrees in his sefer, Darchei Moshe, and points out, listen, you know, who was the author of the Zohar? Is Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Well, Reb Shimon is the same one that the Gemara says in Pesachim that he holds that Yesh begin Nois and Tam. So then fine, he's going Lashitase because it has Nois and Tam, or because he goes Lashitase, that aim begin Nois and Tam, and therefore he says over there that would be also Bahana. So therefore he's following his Svara in the Zohar over there. But the fact is the halacha is not like Reb Shimon in that regard. So it shouldn't be also Bahana either. Because in fact you have two different ways. You have Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan, two different ways of learning Reb Shimon's opinion in that Gemara and Pesachim. Okay, in any case, so the technical halacha is you are allowed to have Hanoah from the Gid Anosha, but again, as the Beis Yosef says, maybe better to be machmir because the Zohar says it's also. So now we said Gid Anosha Shem Esbashel, but if Gid Anosha was cooked together with other Gidim, then it makes them all, then can make them all also. So the question is why? It's Lifto Beruva, why shouldn't it be Bato Beruv? Why shouldn't it be Bato Beruv? Now, Bato Beruv, you literally mean just Roiv. You mean just that there should be two Gidim of Heter. When you need 60 Gidim of Heter, a difference is because here you're talking about Yavish for Yavish. You're talking about dry, where they didn't blend together. So does it in fact mean that? We've shown him disagree on that point. And then also Tosfos points out that even if you were going to say that it's Mutter, maybe you wouldn't be able to eat all of it. You would still have to, you still can't have, maybe that one person can eat all of them. Because after all, inevitably he's going to be eating the Isser. And the Rosh disagrees with that point. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch when you have a Taruv, it's Yavish for Yavish. When you have dry mixed with dry, say one piece of kosher meat mixed with two of non-kosher, would one person be able to eat the whole mixture? So there are different opinions about it. On the one hand, you could say it's bottle, or you could say bottle is bottle. What's the problem? On the other hand, the fact is it didn't actually lose its identity. It's still there. And therefore, so Shulchan Aruch has a, well, in Shulchan Aruch it brings them, the Mechaber brings, that one person could eat all of them, but he has to eat them individually. He can't eat the three of them together. And then he says, Yesh Misha Oysa. Some say it's also to even eat it one after the other. And then Amal says, this is how you should be knowing Mechatechila. And then there's further. Some who hold, based on Tosfos, that you should even do more. You should throw one of them away or give them to a guy. And then you can, like, attribute that one was the one that was also. That's all minimum. That's all minimum. You know, and that's only when it's yavish be yavish, when it's dry and dry. Anyways, the Gemara is asking over here: the Gidan Nosha should be bottled the roiv. Why are you saying that Aser is all the other one? And the answer is barrier shiny. It's different when something is a barrier, when something is a creature of its own, which is never bottled, even in a thousand. So we talked about the other day whether in fact Gidan Nosha is considered. We said that why is the Gidan Nosha considered a barrier when it's not an independent living creature? So one point is because the definition of a barrier is something that was always osur, that's something which is choshu and which was always osur from when it was created, which is true of the Gidan Nosha. The Gidan Nosha is always osur, and it's considered, so it has to have something that had chayos, which the Gidan Osher did. It had to be something which was always osur, and it had to be something complete. So therefore, so the Gidan Osher meets all those three criteria, and therefore it's considered a barrier, and therefore it's not going to be mevatel, therefore it's not going to be bottle in the other ones. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with other things that are and aren't bottle, and details about all those kinds of things.